doing a rerun today for you. Actually, it's a rerun from a leadership retreat of, I think, 2004. So some of you probably wouldn't even remember that. So I'm trying to find a strategic time to start our salvation series. It's not that we don't think we won't have a broken, we won't have continuous coverage once we start, but we're having so many different things. Like next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, and remember we start at 10. We don't have a jump start, so different things like that. So we do need to try and find a time that works. So we want to get started and kind of keep some momentum going instead of starting and then stopping. So I think you'll enjoy the Salvation series. It stems from my confusion as a teenager growing up and all of that as far as what it takes to be saved. And assurance of salvation is addressed by what salvation is all about. But the nuts and bolts of salvation, what is it, how do I get it, and how do I share it? And we talk about all the different ways people are told how to be saved. And we did that, I think we covered it shortly after I got here, because the Immels were here at one time. Remember that card you made, Lori? I still have a couple of those. Yeah. So, but I haven't changed the 5 points, but I've greatly developed the study into more detail. So, I encourage everyone to make it a priority. Josh, why don't you put those on the back pew in case someone comes in, okay? So that's coming yet. We'll talk about that, and I encourage it. It should be at least something you can review even with your elementary age children. They might not understand every point that we talk about, but you need to if you're older. And I tell you, as I understand Scripture, if you're not understanding your salvation, you really aren't going to ever grow, because that's where it starts. And if you're waffling there, you're kind of stuck. So you really need to make your calling and election sure, it says in 1 Peter 1:10. Then you can grow. Then you can be used of the Lord and things like that. So, but anyway, that'll be coming soon. We're not quite sure yet. And I have another unexpected business trip that I have to go out. I have to go to Plain, Ohio. Anyone ever been to Plain, Ohio? Me neither. So, have you heard about that, Jenny? The new little, we bought another little farmer city kind of place out in near Columbus, Ohio. So, yeah, it's like it has to be a half an hour from known civilization in order to be there. Yeah, so I shouldn't have to travel there much, but I have to travel out there to set them all up and all that. And that all kind of, they've been talking about this last year, but it all precipitated last week. So they're waiting on me to get them connected so they can do everything they need to do from here on out. So I'm not really sure when that is either. And we have the combined morning service on the, I think it's the 20, is it the 24th, 21st? So does that sound right? Today's the 1st, it'll be the 8th, 15th, 22nd is the combined service for the Hispanic ministry. We're going to all meet in the morning service, and we'll have a bilingual service, and that's to help them celebrate and praise God for their 10th anniversary here. And next week is the deaf ministry. They're celebrating their 2nd anniversary here. So it's just wonderful how God is doing things in spite of us, isn't it? It's just it's great that God has sought fit to see Northridge as a place where other ministries can be incubated. And we're okay with that. So anyway, you got your sheets. Just as an FYI, I'm not discouraged. You know, this didn't come from Sean being mean to me yesterday at the retreat or something like that. We had a good time at the retreat. This is actually, we had a series at a retreat called discouraged disciples, and then how to deal with discouragement, because the Bible talks about it a lot. And this is actually a word study of one specific word that occurs, and then each one of us will have whether it's the weather, like a cloudy day, some of us, that's all it takes to get us down in the dumps. Others, major events in our lives that make life hard, and sometimes in despairing, and the rest are somewhere in between, busy or tired or whatever. And it's good to talk about this, to know that God understands us enough to already prescribe His truth in those situations. So that's what we want to look at this morning. Obviously, at a leadership retreat, I probably spent 2 hours on the sheet. We won't spend 2 hours today, probably about 30 minutes at the most, maybe 25. The Greek is in there, not because it matters, but those that do read Greek, it helps too. But what should I do when I want to give up? Anyone here ever wanted to give up on anything? If you're a parent, people have said, when you have a big family, children always come into the conversation. And it's like, I tell them I would not trade my kids for anything. But in a weak moment, I give them away. So, like that. I'm not saying we are greatly blessed of the Lord. But, there's sometimes you're just ready to give up. Whether it's where you work, even if it's a specific project, the cars and I don't get along real well. And it's not because I haven't worked on them. It's because I have in my past that I just don't like cars anymore. And they affirm that toward me as well on a regular basis. But whatever the case might be, in ministry, if you're in ministry, it's easy to get discouraged when you're leading people. Whether it's a Sunday school class or whatever, it's an ongoing thing like that. So there's always times, and we have to understand that that's possible, but also too then, what does God say about that? So that's what we're going to look at today. We're looking at a word that's called egg kakeo, and it means to become discouraged or tire of. Okay, and you'll see that it's translated in several different ways, and it makes sense. The one that it's used mostly here, and you can see it in your sheet, is to lose heart. The way it describes it, the way it's translated, the word itself doesn't have the word heart in it. But it's like, you lose your steam, you lose your initiative, you lose your desire to keep on keeping on. And that I really think it captures it well. One of the Greek dictionaries, a lexicon, Freeburg's lexicon, has a couple definitions for it. Strictly to act badly, and that's what it is, to ek or egg, the EG in the front is out, and kakeo is to be bad. So it's using it kind of in a representative type of way. But anyone remember, Mike Dukakis? He ran for the presidency of the United States. Well, he has a Greek name, and Kakis is bad, and Du is double. So it's probably good that he wasn't elected, just on that basis alone, if names mean anything. It's, well, you think this guy's bad. Well, this guy's twice as bad. And it's permanent. It's in the record, kind of thing. But anyway, strictly act badly in some circumstance with the participle following. It means to become weary or tired, okay, of doing something. Number two, as failing to hold out successfully, to give up, to become discouraged, or to lose heart. Okay, let's look at six passages here rather quickly, and I think I got about 2 points on each one here. But Luke 18:1, I think it was in Luke when I screeched to a halt and saw this phrase, and it finally started getting me thinking about it, and this is several years ago now, but Luke 18:1, then he, Jesus, spoke a parable to them that men ought, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Okay, so 2 points here. Point number one, be aware that giving up is a real danger. You may be a superstar, but Jesus was talking to everybody else then. Okay? Be aware that giving up is a real danger. It's possible for you or I to give up. That is one of those dangers of the Christian walk. I've got a whole series, you guys have never heard it, but reasons why people fail. Reasons why people fall away. I think I got 13 points. This is one of them. They give up. We looked at Luke 8 Wednesday night with the young people, and there's four soils in Luke 8: the wayside, the stony soil, the seed that lands among the thorny ground, and then the good ground. Well, the stony soil says that, they give up in a time of difficulty. In reality, it's they're believers, but having no root, they just bail when life gets tough. That's one of the reasons. People just don't like difficulty, and so they give up. It's a lot easier just to go with the flow. And Christianity, if it's anything, is going against the flow, all right, of your own nature, of the world. And, of course, the devil's not really interested in you succeeding in any way, shape, or form. So be aware that giving up is a real danger. He says it, that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Well, if Jesus thought that that was a possibility, you should at least take that into consideration. Otherwise, you think you're flying high and mighty, and all of a sudden the rug gets pulled out from under you. All of a sudden you're just so devastated. Well, don't be that way. Number two, develop. What do you do? What was his first and foremost solution? It says develop a continuous habit of prayer. Develop a continuous habit of prayer. Jesus here, God in the flesh, is saying, hey, I know this is a danger. You ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Okay? That's kind of the major way of countering it is to pray. And by the way, the word ought is a... It's D-E-I-N, if you were to spell it in English, Dane. And that's the same word for you must be born again. I mean, it's essential. It's not a good idea. It's absolutely what you have to do. You know, you must be born again isn't like an add-on. It's the foundational thing. It's the same word that's used. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work, a bishop then... must be, and it's that word must, again, it's an essential element there. Develop a continuous habit of prayer. And Jesus exemplified that too, remember? He practiced what he preached. Letter A, why do this? Just quickly, God listens. I don't know why God would care to hear from you or I, but he does. And letter B probably indicates that some God cares. Remember back in 1 Peter, is it 5:5? Casting all your cares upon him, for he, what? He cares for you. Literally, it's this, and it about blew me away. I don't know, it's just the word order and stuff, but you are of concern to him. And I just like, how can that be? But it's true. God cares about you. God cares. So he's waiting for you to pray to him. I mean, he commands you to pray. He's prescribing prayer because you need to pray. Okay? Major elements. How's your prayer life? Are you discouraged? Start praying because God listens and God cares. And by the way, God can do something about it too. 2 Corinthians 4:1, moving right along here. Therefore, since we have this ministry, Paul says, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. We do not become discouraged. We do not give up. Number three here, focus on your ministry to others. Oftentimes when we get bummed out, discouraged or whatever, we are looking at how bad we have it. We have become too inwardly focused and have stopped caring for other people. I honestly think one of the things that kept Paul going through things that I cannot even fathom going through is because he understood that his ministry made a difference in other people's lives. Not because he was Paul, but because Paul served a great God. All right? He knew that what he had to say made a difference to other people. And by the way, God says we all have ministry. And you do make a difference. Whether it's on the very basic level of just showing up because we exhort one another and care for one another. But there's all kinds of ministry opportunities just to share God's love and grace with one another without having to have an official title or an official invitation to do so. But focus on your ministry to others. You know, if life is tough, well, it's tough for other people too. Help them as well. Number four, focus on the mercy God has given you. I remember saying this several years ago, but, you know, the phrase is there, could be worse. You know, right? Trust me, I've done a little bit of reading recently for the Civil War, and I've enjoyed it, but it's amazing what those people, the men and women of that era, had to go through. And I've caught myself thinking, oh, this is, and I'll stop, and it's like, this is nothing. I'm not going through anything like people have had to face in history. You know, the troubles and trials that they faced on a daily basis in a situation like that. I've never even gotten close to some of their best days, let alone their worst days. God's mercy has been great. And even times when God has allowed us to go through difficult times, has He not been merciful? Has He not delivered us often in times when it could have been worse? Or here we are living in the most wonderful country. Yes, it's on a slippery slope toward away from God, but it's still just the most amazing country that has ever existed on the face of the earth so far. Life isn't that bad. God's mercies are great. And we have much to thank the Lord about. As we have received mercy, Paul, no doubt, when he thinks of that as well, he thinks of his own salvation. Because remember, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said. And I don't think Paul was using hyperbole. I think Paul believed what he said. Here was a religious leader that was fighting against God. And in fact, he was on his way to do worse, to incarcerate people, and people had died at his hand. And all of a sudden, God gets his attention with the bright light on the road to Damascus. And Paul understood, you know what? God didn't owe me anything. Have we come to that realization as well? Nobody here deserved to be saved, right? Is not God's mercy great? It's like God must have some kindness in his heart because I exist. And I'm not in the lake of fire at this very moment. Unbelievable, but true. God's mercy is that big. And Paul got that. He looked back and he said, you know what? If we start focusing on what God hasn't done to us, in light of what we deserved, his mercies become very evident. Focus on your ministry to others. Focus on the mercy God has given you. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though our outward man is perishing. You young people have no idea what that is, but we older folks, we're getting a good idea of that, okay? Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And again, we're kind of skipping context here. There's a therefore, but we're going to stay where we're at here this morning. Number five, put outward circumstances in their place. Put outward circumstances in their place. All the way back in Ecclesiastes, you have Solomon's exhortation. Remember the Creator in the days of your youth before, what? The difficult days come. It's like life. You think life's hard now, wait till tomorrow. You think life is tough now, wait 10 years from now. The Timberlakes. Life hasn't gotten easy. It's gotten harder. Carl's in the hospital. It's not gotten easier. It's gotten harder. Why? Because even Ecclesiastes 12 is the age thing. You know, you're not going to be able to hear well, see well, taste well. You can't sleep. But then when you do, you wake up at the smallest sound. You know, all of these things. But it says, remember the Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the days draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. It's hard to get up, it's hard to go to bed, and it's hard through all the time between. Okay? You have to understand that that's our lot in life. We're infected by sin. Our bodies are, the world is, our minds. The idea is, you know what? This world is passing away. The Bible says, don't grab on to your misery and hold on to it like, hey, I'm going to hang on to misery for all I'm worth and suck on that lemon and make it just last. Understand that, you know what? Difficulty is part of this sinful existence, but listen, it's going away. There's a time and a place when there'll be no tears, no crying, no pain, no death. Can you imagine when we're on the new earth long enough and it's like, I come across Randy Smith, and boy, is he good looking. You know, the curse has been taken away. And he doesn't recognize me at all. It's like, you're who? No, you couldn't be. No, <yeah. laughs> Randy, what's that on top? Oh, hair. Ah, good, okay. But anyway, all of a sudden we'll be talking, and it's like, he'll say something like, hospital, and I'll be like, oh, okay, what is that again? Remind me. Understand, it'll be like that. We won't even remember if 10,000 years or 40,000 years, we'll be going along, it'll be hard to remember what the old way was like. Sickness. So you're like, yeah, it's so good and so, you know, right here that that won't even be in our minds. And it'll be like, I don't remember. Understand, the circumstances of today are going away. They're passing. So that's part of it, but they're going away. Paul said two different places, they're similar. One's in Corinthians, one's in Ephesians. But he says, but our light affliction, which is but for anyone? They're having a conversation up there. It was in Spanish, so we don't understand anyway. So, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, yields a more exceeding weight of glory. I've missed a couple words, but the idea is, hey, it's difficult. God knows that, but that it's a passing thing. The trouble is put in its proper place. Paul says, hey, even though our outward man is perishing from day to day, perishing, how does he say it here? Yet the inward man is being renewed from day to day. Number five, put outward circumstances in their place. Number six, let God renew you inwardly daily. Hey, the outside circumstances are just miserable. My body's falling apart. You know, this year's going to be bifocal year for me. Not because I want to. I just have to. Okay, otherwise I'm like Randy, you know. I always thought, why does he take his glasses off to read? And now all I do is like, it seems like an oxymoron, but it works. It works. You can see, you know, close up or whatever. But that idea, that's going away, but let God renew you inwardly, because there's a part of you that is not dying. It's the spiritual man. Okay, and God can renew it and build you up and give you that strength and courage so that your outward circumstances are not your focus and they are not your demise either. We are not to let that get us down, because that is, in reality, sin and doubt. And it's ignoring all the things that God has done, and it is ignoring and rejecting the resources that God has given us to succeed and be victorious in this life. Let God renew you inwardly daily. And I wonder how that happens. Right? How do we do that? It isn't just a Christian ritual to read the Word of God. It is a Christian essential. It's like not eating. And some of us are like, oh, that just repulses me to think of that. I don't know what it's like with you, but if I don't eat, after a while, you get kind of weak and, you know, you're thinking, man, it looks like you could live for 100 days, you know, without eating, but maybe I could, but you get weak and, you know, dizzy, kind of, you need that nutrition. The same way, if you're not in the Word, if you're not focusing on the Word of God and letting the Word of God renew you, you are going to be weak and sickly as a Christian, and the outward circumstances are going to seem overwhelming. Number 7, let's jump to Galatians 6:9 there. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. There's another word that we did study up at camp, was that grow weary one. Actually, that's the word there. And then lose heart is a different word. Actually, on this one, it's translating something else. But here, that's grow weary. But number 7, remember that results take time. Remember that results take time. It says, let us not grow weary in while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You might want to circle the word shall. See that? Shall? It's a certainty. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if, you might want to put a box around if what? We do not give up. The word elu, what is it there? Eklu aminoi, it's to give up. If we don't give up, we don't quit. Okay? Remember that results take time. Who was I talking to yesterday? One of the people up at the retreat anyway. You know, it's the idea that, you know, raising kids is an excellent idea with regard to this. You know, you told them to clean their room for 16 years. Well, it's a process. It's a process. Maybe it was Lori mentioned it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart from it. It's a process from that beginning till the end. Okay? The idea of raising a child. It's not you tell them once and they remember and everything's perfect from here on out. You know what keeps me going in our youth group for some of our teens? I know that it's a process. They think that I'm not getting through, and I'm not. But I'm teaching the Word of God, and it is. Not a problem. Not a problem. I'm excited to be in there with the teens, because I know what God has done in my heart over time. Over time. Remember that the results take time. It takes time to change under the Word of God. It takes time to change our thinking and all of that. It takes time. I think the most frustrated people in our church are those that think that they just want an instant fix. they want it fixed and then everything's okay. And it's like the Christian life doesn't work that way. It's a growing process, a maturing process, not an instant solution process. Number eight, rest in God's promise of results. Remember that results take time. Number eight, rest in God's promise of results. He says, for in due season, the due season is almost like a farming term, doesn't it? Sound that way? In fact, that's the reap and sow idea that's found in Galatians 6 as well. Reaping and sowing, okay? It is that idea. How long does it take to grow a crop? And we got some plants growing, that seedlings or whatever you call them, on our table. They have little trays of tomatoes. And we've never tried to do this before, and we'll see how it goes. But, you know, you put the tomato seed in there, and it's like, for crying out loud, where is it? I mean, a week later, you're like, did you guys do this right? It's not, there's nothing there. There's dirt. We had dirt when we started. Yeah, we could have, if all we were going to do is grow dirt, we wouldn't have had to buy the seeds. We had dirt. Well, now they're coming up. They're little spindly things. Look, there's no tomato going to hang from that thing. It's going to smash it, you know? But I'm saying it takes time. It's a slow process. And that's just to grow plants. How much more challenging is it to grow people? Rest in God's promise of results. Things will happen. It takes time if we do not quit. Ephesians 3:13. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Paul telling the Ephesians while he's in prison. Number nine, know that God uses my difficulty for good. My tribulations for you. That's a parent. That's a short description of a parent, isn't it? My wife was up most of last night with our little Joseph. Bless his spoiled, rotten heart. He doesn't feel good or something. He was awake most of the night, which means that she was, and probably in part I was. We sleep in the same room. But that's part of the job of being a parent, isn't it? Even being siblings, that's part of the blessing of being a brother or sister at times. God uses my difficulty for good. Letter A is for me. God grows me when I go through difficulty. And also letter B would be what? For others. Paul says, my tribulation, what does he say? Or for you. For which is your glory. You know, he's doing it and it's accomplishing things on their behalf. So that's a good thing, right? If it's accomplishing, then bad isn't always bad. And even difficulty. I have some interaction times. People talk about, you know, they had a good day or a bad day. And to me, in the light of God's word, every day is a good day because God is doing good whether it's bad circumstances or not. That idea that the tribulations of our faith work patience, right? Isn't that what James 1 says? Trial of our faith works patience. Number 10, know God's power and goodness. Know God's power and goodness. The context here, Paul is reliant upon God. He understands that he would not be in that difficult situation unless God allowed him to be so. And guess what? God is good. That can go back to Romans 8. All things work together for what? Good. How can God say that? Because he controls all things. And he is good. That doesn't make everything good, but God allows everything to result in good. Know God's power and God's goodness. God's in control. He didn't have to let you go through it, but he did for a reason, and it's for your benefit. You can count on those things. You may not understand it. You may not believe it. You know, that it's, how can this be good? But you can count on God that he lets you go through it for a reason, for your good. You can count on that. God's greatness or God's power and goodness. 2 Thessalonians 3:13. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Number 11, understand that all are in process. All are in process. One of the things that I would say I've grown in over the years in ministry, philosophy or whatever, and I'm not saying I never get discouraged still as I see people and how they grow or don't grow, but one of the things that always has finally, you know, grown into my mind from the Word of God over these past maybe 10 years or so is, you know what, everyone's in process. Everyone's in process. So you know what, if there's a person that is not walking with God all the way they should be, guess what, God's grace is still good and they're in process. And then I look in the mirror and I say, guess what, you're in process. And I'm so thankful, because I'd hate to think it was the end. You know, this is all there was. How sad, you know. Understand that all are in process. And number 12, be part of God's process. Be part of God's process. Do right. It says here, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. The idea is that we should be keeping on, keeping on. Keep ministering. Keep doing good. Don't allow yourself to tire of that. Don't base it on people. Base it on God. And with the ultimate understanding that God will bring to fruition what He wants. What should I do when I want to give up? Well, God already thought of all that, and here's at least 12 things, 12 focuses that you can put your heart at to help you in that, because life can be discouraging. God knows that. Keep on keeping on, all right? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, thank you that you made us, you know us so well, you know how we think, how our hearts work and maybe react and respond to our circumstances or the difficulties or whatever. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us enough to save us. You loved us enough to teach us and, Lord, to give us information and how to keep on keeping on, to not grow weary, to not lose heart. And, Lord, I thank you that you allow us to go through difficulty even for our benefit. Lord, you are great, you are good, and you do not allow things to come into our lives without purpose. And we just thank you. You are the great orchestrator of our lives. Help us to yield to your will and not complain or murmur, but help us learn to praise you as you lead us in this life as we walk by faith. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. How many had a perfect week this week? You read your Bible?